do have a two good reports. Pastor Palton thoroughly enjoyed our Wednesday night thing. The report from Natalie was given to Irene and to be given to me to be given to you guys. So it's true about this vine that we're attached to. It was more therapeutic for him than we could ever believe. So it was great. We're starting to step out in the tech world, and we love it. What God is doing. It saved him a trip from Pittsburgh to come and be with us, and he was on the screen, and we had a really good time for well over an hour with Pastor Palton. The other thing is I want to give you a report on Pastor Hodges. He says that we are a healthy, growing church. He's not just saying that. He says we have all the ingredients. We're going to put all the ingredients together. We're going to stir it up, and out come a golden calf. No, no, we're being silly about that. But we are going to work to put the ingredients together, and by September, this September, there'll be a lot more changes coming for the ministry. I do want to exhort all the ladies and all the men that, you know, this is the year we're pouring into you. Jess went to the women's conference, and she really received more than she thought she was going to receive. She's getting a glimpse into my world and Irene's world, and we love that. We want you to have a glimpse, but we want you to take the ministry further than ours. We're about at our ceiling. You guys will take this. I also want to thank the worship team. They did an excellent job. They deserve it. They did an excellent job in leading worship today, as they normally do, and want to give that attaboy to them. Keep up the good work. With that, I know, Robin, it seems like every week we're having a new speaker every week for you. Just for you. Today, the message is called Treasure Hunting. It's a preliminary message. We're going to be looking at it. If we have the scriptures up there, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 13. Let me start off with a simple prayer. Father, we just come before you. We want to have our minds expanded, our hearts expanded. Everything about us, oh God, we want you to expand it so that we can receive from you today, Lord God, and be able to go treasure hunting. This is what you did 2,000 years ago. You began to treasure hunt, and we want to continue to do that, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 13, starting with verse 44 to 50, it says, "The kingdom of heaven," this is Christ speaking, he says, "the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he has found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is let down into a lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it is full, the fishermen pull it up to the shore. They sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Some questions that plague me personally is my salvation. Am I happy about being saved? And yeah, I am happy about being saved. I'm not happy that the world is not saved. Although they are, because he died for the world. They just haven't heard that they're saved. All they have to do is receive their salvation. And that's it. That's an interesting part for us, you know, to go out and tell them. Our job is only to tell them what Christ has done for them. And we see here that in historical times, in these times, when somebody found something in a field that belonged to somebody else, they would normally take it out of the ground and give it to the owner of that property. And that was the properties belonged to the owner. But it says in this parable that he hid it. He hid again, and then he sold everything that he had to buy that field. Salvation is not cheap. It is free, but it is not cheap. And what we do is we allow the world to dictate to us how we're to have salvation. I've heard a lot of people say to me, well, I believe that. You know, Christ died on a cross. I believe that. He paid for my sins. I believe that. Did you receive him? No. The word says believe. But there's also, James says in 2:19, he says, I'll show you my faith by what I do. You see, our faith energizes us to do good things. We're energized to share the good news. We're always looking for opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't received your salvation, I'll give you an opportunity later on to receive that salvation, because it's so precious, it's so magnificent to enter into the kingdom that will never perish. Think about it. Never perish. The streets are paved with gold. Think about it. Men die for gold. They'll lie for gold. They'll do anything they can to have gold. We don't have to do anything. God has already prepared it. Pearls. This guy sold everything for a pearl. And we have the gates of heaven in pearls. Do we have to do anything for that? Of course not. And so today what I want to do is share with you a little bit about the kingdom of darkness and how it operates to deceive us, to think that we're there, but we're not there. Then I want to express a little bit about the kingdom of heaven, and really the light of the kingdom really shines on that darkness to give us the truth of the gospel. Most people operate under half-truths. And then we'll go treasure hunting. Isn't that exciting? Our kids are going to go treasure hunting soon. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? Yeah, they're going to go treasure hunting. What we find when we look at the scriptures is God's heart for his creation. He expresses it and he writes it down for each and every one of us. You are important to his plan. He has a job for you. He wants you trained. He wants to equip you. But if you look at this book and just put it on the shelf until Sunday morning, and then you come here and you're going to hear great and mighty things that our God is capable of doing. But he wants to do it through you. You are the answer to your neighbor. You are the answer. Say, I'm the answer to my neighbor. Tell somebody. Yes, believe it or not, she is your answer. So let's look at the kingdom of darkness a little bit. The kingdom of darkness exists. It is a reality. We know this. And we know it that Satan has schemes and plans all against us. We know that the kingdom of darkness originated in the physical realm by Nimrod. Does anybody know who Nimrod was? Alicia, tell me. Right, he was the king who authorized the building of the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, we know, was reaching into heaven. They wanted to mankind to reach into heaven to be like God. Isn't that part of the original lie that Satan said to Eve? You'll be like God. No. I'm a created being. I know I'll never be like God. He has given me traits and things to showcase him, but I can't create anything. unless he puts it in my mind and then I express it and then we have it happen. But the kingdom of God was through, the kingdom of darkness was built by Nimrod, who was the son of Cush, who was the son of Noah. And we have to understand that, that when God destroyed the world, he destroyed it not only because of sin, he destroyed it because of the Nephilim. And who are the Nephilim? The Nephilim were the giants. I believe the fallen angels that, that married women and created the giants in the land. That was not how God had planned it. God said, we shall multiply by our own kind. Every seed by its own kind. And so he destroyed that because that was a perversion of his word. And we see that, that when he came down to earth, he saw what man was doing and he said, you know, if I don't confuse their language, nothing's going to be impossible for these guys. And so he caused languages to be developed. He scattered mankind throughout all the world and the Tower of Babel. The work on the tower was stopped. We know that God's judgment is coming upon the kingdom of darkness, and we see that that God at least 24 times he calls the kingdom of darkness Babylon. Babylon, the system of which we are part of. We are in this system. He calls it the harlot, the abomination, beast and its mark, the wrath, fornication, habitation for demons, foul spirits, unbelieving, immoral, liars, filthiness, death, unclean, material riches, violence, corruption, idolaters, deception, false prophets, great delusion, sorceries, murders, shedding of innocent blood, blasphemy. And if you look through the scriptures, you could find even more things that he refers to that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of light. His judgment is going to come upon the world. And it is our job to tell the world what he's about to do. That's scary. That's part of the gospel. And for us, we look forward to the kingdom. For them, they're living life just like it was in the days of Noah. Unsuspecting that, that he's going to destroy the world. And we have a part to play in that. We're living in a new Babylonian society, culture, system. We have to understand that this system is designed to influence us away from God. That's the whole thing about the kingdom of darkness. It hates God. It hates everything that represents itself with God. It hates so much that when the truth is presented, we would believe the lie rather than the truth. That's called deception. And many of us would rather believe that lie. Tell me a lie, and I'll tell you a truth. Which will you believe? We have to know what God is saying in his word. We have to be living according to what he says. You know, the evil spirits of this age tell half-truths. Still a lie. For every lie, there is a little bit of truth wired in there to catch it. You know, in the garden, Satan said to Eve, did God really say? Did he really say? And we all know the narrative. And of course, she's standing there with Adam. Believe me, Adam was there. But he was passive. And she said, well, we're not supposed to do this nor touch it. She added to the word of God. Many of us read into the word of God. We don't read the word of God. And we have to stop that. We have to see what God says truthfully about every situation and scenario that is going on. I like it when people say to me, Pastor, you're a goody two-shoes.
I say
to them, go talk to my wife. She'll tell you how good I was. She'll tell you all the things that I did that I can't remember because I'm on this side of the cross. My past, I forget. And the nice thing about it is God forgets too. He forgets your past. He forgets what you did. He only wants you to look and focus on your future. Because that's where we're going. We're going to the future. We're not going to our past. There are three things in this Babylonian society that is working against us. It is humanism, deception, and false powers or religion are working against us. And they're all designed to control the masses. Our heart is being controlled by the Spirit of the living God. And we do the things that He tells us to do. He doesn't manipulate us. He doesn't control us. He doesn't say to us, now, don't do that. He does. But He says it through love. We operate here at Streams with two rules. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love one another as you love yourself. Love. We operate through love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And some of us, as Pastor Hodges was alluding to in his message about fear, and there's three types of fear, the whole design is to paralyze you, to cause you to retreat from the truth. And we have to understand that God has set us free. And if you're free, you are free indeed. Nothing is designed to cause you to stumble, to cause you to live in bondage. Nothing is here to cause you to think lower than yourself. But in the kingdom of darkness, they use pride. They use the love of the world, the lust of the eyes. They use all those things against us. And we have to understand that we operate through love. I love the saying, when we first got started at Streams, I would ask some people who were parts of Catholicism or mainline denominational, what brought them to Streams? So, well, you know, I'm saved, Pastor, and I got this. I said, well, the interesting thing is, how do you know you're saved? You know, my word tells me I can know that I'm saved. Well, I'm saved because I believe. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. You got half of it right. But you got to receive Christ. That's the beginning of salvation, is receiving your personal Lord and Savior. You know, you can believe that this is a box of tissues, or you can believe that it's a free gift. Let's call it a free gift. And you can believe that this gift is for you. It'll sit there. But until you receive it and open it up and see what's contained into it, I believe. It's not yours. It's not personal. I watch my grandson, and he's comical as all get out. I mean, he's a pack rat. He gets it from his grandma's side. She saves everything. I like to give it everything away so I can pull my vehicles in my garage without having like this, you know. But he receives everything. And he asked me, he says, can I take it home? I said, yeah, you can take it home. You can do whatever you want. It's yours. You see, salvation is ours. It's ours. All we have to do is receive Him. And it's ours. We're set free. There's nothing inhibiting us. That's the truth of the gospel. The kingdom of darkness is designed to put the blinders on our eyes so we can't see the truth. We can't receive the truth. We can hear it. But until we receive the truth Its job is to alienate believers from God who created us. That's its job. Now, what happens to us in the kingdom of light? If we return to Daniel, first chapter, verse 4, there are seven things that God gives to us immediately when we turn over. We give our life to sin, of sin to Him, we receive from Him. He gives us a new identity, and in this new identity, we have a royal lineage. It says in here, young men who, in whom there is no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand. He who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the literature and language of the Chaldeans. We may have heard that we're kings and priests, but God gives us that. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is mighty. He is God Almighty. There's no one like Him, and He is our Father. There's nothing that He can't do for us, through us, with us, with us together. The kingdom of darkness wants to isolate you. The kingdom of darkness wants to keep you away from the truth. We also see that we're free from any defects. God has taken our sinful life and He has thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. And we are perfect in His eyes. Think about it. Perfect in His eyes. Well, he must wear glasses. Yeah, he doesn't wear glasses. He sees perfectly. What we were is not who we are. I've heard people say, oh, I just sin all the time. No, you're saints that sin. You're saints that sin. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's who our Father is. When my grandson falls down, I just wipe his knees. I give it a little peck on his knee and say, everything's cool. And he's fine. He's fine. I mean, I'm learning so much from my grandson. He doesn't even realize it. So that by the time I'm 90 years old, he'll think I'm the smartest thing since sliced cheese. But really, you know, he's teaching me. They're good looking. I look through this crowd. And I see good looking people. Annika, you're good looking. You have to believe that. Truthfully. In God's eyes, you're a beautiful young person. Now, Michael, I'm not so sure. You know, there's some work that has to be done. No, you're all beautiful to God. He created you. Stop saying you're ugly. Stop saying things that would be demotive to who you are. You're not agreeing with God. God says you're good looking. You're good looking. This is a smile. This is a frown. This is, I'll smile if I feel like it. Do you realize you use less muscles to smile than it is to frown? I need to smile more, because I'm like this. I'm like that old guy Walter with what's his name? Jeff Dunham. Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of, oh yeah. Sure. Yeah. You're intelligent. You're understanding. You have knowledge. And you have the ability to serve. This is what God gives to you immediately. You may not know accurately how this works, but the kingdom works under all these things. We have to understand that, you know, the new religion today is science. That is the new religion. Everything's by science. Science tells us this. Science tells us that. You know, but the real thing is science is only confirming what our God has done. Really, that's the truth. It's confirming what God has already done. I was watching this show the other day about these microparticles that are in outer space. They're so small you can't even see them. They can't even detect them, but they know that they're there. They've given them a name. The name is so long, it's like what I do with other names in the Bible. I could just call it Smith. You know, it's easy. Smith or Jones. We have to understand that science confirms what our God has already done. The other thing that it uses is philosophy. It uses man's way to explain away God's moral absolutes. Philosophy. It tries to dictate what our ethics are, what our morals are, what our absolutes are. Now, it depends on where you're at in life. Are you going to adhere to the word of truth, or are you going to adhere to the world? You got to know what God says about things. And he has a whole lot to say about everything for our benefit. God is for you. He is not against you. Philosophy tries to change our belief system, our values, and our understanding of this present culture. Culture. What is happening today is people are rising up against people. They don't want to take the time to talk to people. They would rather, I'm going to build this wall so I don't have to talk to my neighbor. That's crazy. That is absolutely nuts. What I find today is people throw away relationships. I can get another one. I can get on social media. I got 500 likes. I don't know what that means, but okay. Relationships, as you get older, become more important to you. Not less important to you. My relationship to Jesus Christ is more important to me than my relationship to my wife. And she knows that. She understands that. I love my wife. I love my children. And there's some things that God has revealed to me that I need to pick back up again. We need to learn to fight for our relationships. Not just write them off. How important is that relationship that Satan has confused you in your thinking to make accusations against that person? You need to discuss it with that person. What I've seen in the recent months is we have a society, a culture that has no coping skills. None. They're melting down faster than anything. We're here to help them to cope. Humanism. Humanism tries to tell us that there's no God. That man is in control of his own destiny. Man's not in control of his own destiny. He makes decisions based in rebellion because that's what he is. He's rebellious to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Humanism is a thought process of rebellion. If it feels good, do it. Many today believe in Christian existentialism. I call it the social gospel. Now. Everything will be okay. Now. You see the problem in this? Now. Where's God? I got enough problems of my own that I take to God. Just this week I blew out a tire. My shoe. blew out. One of my favorite shoe blew out. I have to do something, a 4, 7, 8, 9 letter thing. It's called shopping. I whisper it because I dread it. I don't like to shop. I have to buy a new pair of knock-around shoes. My truck died. Do you believe that? I tried to maintenance that thing. Dan and I were coming here to church, what, Friday night? And it died. It just said, you could try to start me, but I'm not moving. Ha, ha, ha. Well, I called Gomez. He gives me a jumper cables. We jump it. We take the truck home. And then it says in the dry, no more. We have options, as my wife has said. And I procured one of those options this morning to be here with you. It's all to keep us away from God. You have to see the design. If God is not important to you, you will not think of Him first. He told me Friday night, He said, Monday you take it to your mechanic and everything will be okay. I look at Dan, I said, did I handle it all right? He said, Pastor, you handled it beautifully. Driving down the street with no headlights on. Lucky I knew the road. Gosh, if we were in Virginia on that mountain, we wouldn't have made it. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. What kingdom do you belong to? It's really the thing. We have been infiltrated so much so with the social gospel that our pulpits are not even teaching truth. Our pulpits, in our pulpits are people who believe in humanism, and they believe that the Bible is not the inspired word of God. They don't believe in the virgin birth. After all, science proves to us that a woman doesn't need a man or a man need a woman to have a child. Have you not read the account of the virgin birth? It was 2,000 years before artificial insemination? I'm dumbfounded when speaking with these individuals. They don't respect authority. They don't believe in the atoning death of Christ. They don't believe in His literal resurrection or His second coming. It's not going to happen, guys. We're going to sing Kumbaya and have a great time, and then it's all over because we're going to have a cosmic explosion. And we're going to evolve into something else. And I ask, what is that something else? And I like to do this with my Hindu friends because they believe in reincarnation. I said, what happens when the world ends? Oh, we will magically become something other than what we are now. And that is, I don't know. I've not had that karma given to me. Okay. And I just walk away. As confused as with their religion as before. I know I'm going to be like Christ. I know He's going to remake the heaven and the earth. I know that all His people are going to be there. I know these things because He tells me these things in the Bible. I know where I'm going. I know what my future holds for me. Yeah, every once in a while I hit a bump in the road. We all hit potholes. It's not the pothole. It's your decision of what you do with the pothole. How that's going to affect. As I said earlier with Dan, we're talking about some things. I said, it's problem solving. How are you going to solve this problem? In love. That's the key. In love. In Christ. God is love. This culture seeks to indoctrinate people. And we've seen this. It exploded on the television screens. When Trump won, and I'm not advocating Trump, nor am I advocating Barack Obama, Because if your faith is not in Jesus Christ, let me tell you how to get saved. That's the only sure thing, Jesus. You have to come to a place of decision making. And I don't say this lightly. I say it with all respect to you. You have to take a stand in what you believe in. Okay. I hear what you're saying. I believe in Christ. I believe he atoned for my death. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he was buried. That he spent 3 days in hell. I believe. And you can add whatever narrative you want to it. That's great. But did you receive him? No, not yet. Would you like to receive Christ so that your belief system can be energized? I remember the day I got saved. Colors spoke to me. I'm not crazy. Blues really talk. I wasn't high. I gave that up. Greens spoke to me. And then when I looked up, there was Jesus standing there talking to me. So when I talk to people about Jesus, I don't talk about someone who's make-believe. I talk about his reality of who he is. He's my Lord and my King and my Savior. Is he yours? So you have to make a decision. You have to have confidence in your decisions. Right, wrong, or indifferent, you have to have confidence. You have to exhibit the confidence that what God is saying, and you make a decision based on what he says. As Pastor Hodges said, you know, endure the pressure, but stand on the promise. Endure the pressures. A lot of ugly stuff come out when we're under pressure. Do we love any less? No, we love all the more. Love covers. All of us are fractured. All of us are messed up. And I thank Pastor Mike for being here, because he was the settling rock to help me recover to where I'm at today. God sent him to help us to settle our flock, and now we're about ready to start bringing the harvest in. There's nothing more important than the harvest, because the next thing is, I'm leaving on a jet plane. You don't know that song? You should. Rely on God and his promises. He'll never fail you. Never. Remain flexible in applying your expertise in these areas. Sometimes things just don't work. Sometimes it may even be the wrong tool. I've seen people use a screwdriver as a chisel. A chisel is a chisel. A screwdriver is a screwdriver. There's a reason why we use these things. They're tools. They're designed for a purpose. If we use the right tools, apply it to the right thing, with the right principles, everything works. It's the second that we use the wrong tool, because we're either too lazy to go to the tool shed to get the tool, or we have it, we just don't want to use it. That's our fault. Not the tools. Stinking tool. Treasure hunting. This is the best part. Luke 13. Jesus speaking, he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will enter and not be able. Once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. And he will say, I don't know you. Go away from me. Then you will say, we ate with you. We drank with you in your presence and you taught in the streets. But he will say, I don't know you. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And there was weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourselves are thrusted out. They will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and sit in my Father's kingdom. Indeed, the last will be first and the first will be last. In the Hebrew, if you can go back to one slide. Thank you. People are beating. Picture this. They're beating on the door. They're in desperation. The door has been shut. No one, I don't care how much you try to beat on the door, you're not going to get in. I'm reminded of one of our teachings of the way of the master is, oh, so you think you're a good person? Yeah, I'm a good person. You ever steal? Well, I was young, I stole. Okay. Did you ever tell a lie? Yeah, I've told a lie from time to time. You lied and you told a lie. Told a lie and you stole. But you say you're a good person. Yeah, I'm a good person. Have you ever looked at somebody with lust in your heart? Oh yeah, that's a tough one. But nobody knows about that. God knows. So that makes you a liar, a thief, who has lust for the stuff of the world or somebody else's spouse or whatever. I don't think you're a good person because Jesus said if you fall short of the law, short of only one point of the law. I've given, asking you three things, and you've fallen short in all three. He says you're guilty of all the law, and you can't enter into the kingdom of God. But I'm a good person. You're one of those people that are beating on the door trying to get in. The only way to get in is through Jesus Christ. The world is here to deceive us, to say, we got tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. As we heard earlier, you know, the daughter was dropped off at church, lady pulls out and she's killed instantly in a traffic accident. She may have thought, does she have tomorrow? Or she may not have been. I'm here to tell you the truth. The treasure that God is interested in is the human soul. All of us know people who need the saving grace of God. All of us have an empty chair next to us. Pastor Keith said the easiest thing we can do as believers is invite people to church. I'm inviting you to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. With every head bowed. Every head bowed. If you would like to take an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, I'd ask you to put your hand up. And to say this simple prayer, Lord, I am in need of a sinner. Or I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Say it with me. All of us. I give you my life of sin and rebellion to receive eternal life. I now have become your child. thank you for saving me. And I'm going to tell the world about you. In Jesus' name, amen. I haven't done that in a long time. I'm rusty. I know it. But I don't want anybody to leave here without having the opportunity to receive Christ. If you receive Christ, you know, let somebody know. It's not enough to believe. You have to receive Him. And your reception of Him will cause your faith to go and tell somebody else. Serve somebody else. That's what it's been for the last months. What we've been talking about, you know, sowing and reaping and